Yes, I'm Digital Dave.
I'm still Fast Eddie.
And no llamas were harmed in the filming of that commercial.
So far.
Anyway.
We have Joshua Scheck. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. Good morning.
And you're with Noah.
Noah.
I am privileged to be representing Noah. I work normally at the Aviation Weather Center.
So what you're saying is when your boss told you you were coming, he said you are going to be privileged to represent Noah.
Actually, he used different words. He said, thank you for volunteering. No, I was really excited for this opportunity. Cool. It's my first time here.
I was wondering about that. What do you think? It's kind of wild, isn't it?
It is outstanding. I worked, and then I walked around, and it turned out even walking around during a lunch break, I hadn't seen half of the grounds.
I've been coming here for almost 30 years, and I still haven't seen everything.
It's outstanding. It's a little overwhelming, but it's just so fun, and it's so focused on aviation. I love it.
Yep. Now, are you a pilot as well?
I am not.
Okay. So you just like to tell them what to do.
So I don't actually tell them what to do. I try to help them make their decisions so they can own their own choices.
Oh, wow. Is that a diplomatic response?
You are an information source is
what
you are.
That is correct.
A specialist.
Yes, sir. And I did hear the last segment where meteorologists weren't necessarily the most appreciated of us. However, all of the warnings and advisories, the SIGMETs and AIRMETs that pilots are using to make their informed decisions, that all comes from the meteorologists at Aviation Weather Center.
Now, there's so much more real-time weather information available in the cockpit, but that doesn't necessarily mean the pilots are going to make the right decisions, does it?
That is true, and our partnerships within NOAA, between the NTSB and the FAA and airlines, really help focus where we're putting our training time, where we're doing our outreach. We have flyers talks. We clearly have a booth here, and we send several from the Aviation Weather Center each year. There are three of us here right now, along with other folks from NOAA. Sorry, four of us here right now, and more coming later in the week.
So if I'm a pilot and I'm getting a weather briefing, you're very happy to explain everything to me. Like, what is a cloud? You know, let's start at the basics here.
Yeah, so I like to ask my kids, what is fog? And that, now they know to say it's a cloud on the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's how I feel every morning.
Ain't that the truth?
One or two coffees clears the fog.
Yep. So I tried pouring it on my airplane, but that didn't work.
No, we don't recommend that, and I'm not a mechanic or an engineer.
Okay.
But you are, however, a weather prognosticator.
I have been called that. I don't have a degree in prognostication, but...
But, that being said...
I'm okay with that.
You stayed at the Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah, I don't have a Ouija board. I think I heard Ouija board. I was thinking more like Magic 8-Ball.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah, they're good.
But I do have a rock at home, just in case I forget.
Yep. Yes, we brought one with us.
You know, in the 60s, they used to have a weather dartboard.
I believe it.
Yeah. Do you guys disseminate weather information to those feeds that go right to cockpits?
Absolutely. Most of our information at NOAA that goes into the cockpit and into flight weather briefings and into those informed decision forecasts is automated digital. We send so much data. The Aviation Weather Center is also a World Area Forecast Center for the Western Hemisphere. The sister center is in Exeter. So for international flyers, all of the data that's being used to plan your flight plans, your fuel, all of those decisions are being made out of data that we're providing along with our sister center, as well as within the National Airspace System. So when you famous ads. Lots of folks know about ads. Aviationweather.gov is our website. That used to be called ads, and it was recently upgraded to be more mobile friendly so that you could use it on a tablet or a phone while you're on the taxiway or in the cockpit in general. The data that's being displayed there is also making it into all the FAA systems and all of our private partnerships, really. We partner with Garmin, we partner with 4Flight, we make sure that we're trying to our best to get them the data they need to do their value-added private business.
Okay, so they're taking in raw data and analyzing and making recommendations for pilots, that kind of thing, or...?
Some of them do, and it's partner specific,
whatever
their business model is. Some of them just display it in a different format.
Well, you guys must really have your hands full when you get heavy weather coming in. For instance, Beryl. You know, that must have had everybody on their toes.
Most certainly, and it does get busy, but there are really no relaxing days in the National Airspace System, so we always have some sort of weather. It's probably worth calling out that part of the Aviation Weather Center is a group of national aviation meteorologists who are embedded within the FAA Command Center in Warrenton, Virginia, and they're doing face-to-face weather briefings just to help tune the National Airspace System traffic flow to account for things like Beryl. So when you have airlines commercially and GA who move out of the way, those types of things, and pre-place logistics, all of that is being done for days ahead of time through the FAA planning and the controller system.
Well, you know, last year we had a tremendous amount of forest fires. Our area was hit so bad, the sky was orange for a couple of days. That's got to really throw a monkey wrench into the plans.
It does. And last year, we experienced several days where we actually had, we went below VFR at airports. So VFR, general aviation flyers, were encountering smoke when they were typically used to briefing for thunderstorms, for cloud bases, and here's all this smoke, and it really reduced visibilities at several airports across the lower 48.
Well, our visibility, I would bet, was at one time was no more than 3/4 of a mile. It was bad.
Talk about how technology has given you more information. I mean, your weather sensing equipment has improved, your satellites, your radar.
It's almost information overload if you don't stop and manage it, right?
Okay.
It's so much information. Oddly enough, if you think about what the FAA has done with the webcams using an AI algorithm to determine ceiling and visibility in remote areas, and that's starting to spread through the lower 48, but it really got going in Alaska. That data alone, being able to pluck that out and know how reliable it is, the meteorologist needs to know, is it reliable? How long has the data been coming in? What kind of background information do we have about that area? In order to help make the forecast decision that then informs the flight decision.
So that's a source I would have never even thought of using.
Yeah.
So they're just picking off like private webcams or something, or they've got their own network of cams.
They are installing their own network of cams, and they're training the algorithm to know if it can see this water tower, the visibility is X or it's 3 miles.
That's pretty wild. And that's low cost.
It is, and it's one of the I call it out because my focus at the Aviation Weather Center is improving the technology, the data, and the science behind the forecast and behind the informed decision. So we work with social scientists. It's not all just meteorology. There's human factors. And when you pull that kind of information in, there's a need for people to see it. There's a want, but it's not always the easiest to pull in and say, look, I can tell you the visibility is this far in this area. But you need to know the limitations of the system that gives you that, right? There are some, we call them mesonets. They're smaller sites that give you a more dense region of observations, but they can only see up to 3 to 4 minutes, or I'm sorry, up to 3 to 5 miles. So if it says 3 all the time or 5 all the time, it might be a 20-mile visibility, but the pilot doesn't necessarily know that, so right. We have to present that information the right way.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, because we're about out of time.
Again.
As always.
And we have too much fun during these interviews.
Yeah, and where are you guys on the field?
We are in Hangar D, and there's a whole group. We have kids' activity books and lots of information, and I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, thank you.
Hey, I'm going to go over there and get a coloring book.
Yeah, color the weather and watch it change when you go outside the line. Oops.
Yeah.
We've been speaking with Joshua Scheck of the Aviation Weather Center, of part of NOAA, which is cool.
Yep, very cool.
Very cool. And I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.